this morning. Don't you just love this time of the year? I'm just so excited for to be here first and foremost, but just of what God's been doing. You know, I just love some of these stories, testimonies, as we just reflect back on this year. For us, some of you this year have been a challenging year. How many of you agree? This has not been the easiest of years, right? I can be honest about that. And I know how these, you know, as we come to the end of this year, we're looking into 2019. It's just a couple of things that God has put on my heart to share with you this morning. And as we come to a closure to this year, and as we look into 2019, and you know, I just remember how the year starts off. You know, the first of January, you kind of look at a list, and there's some New Year's resolutions. How many of you know some of those New Year's resolutions? You've got a list of things, and no, this is what I'm gonna do. You know, I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna get into the gym. You're gonna do all those things. And I know when, I don't know about you, but when February comes, there's a lot of things. My list kind of, you know, I don't tick off those lists, you know, but it's just those things that you just kind of, you know, dream about. We know we've got some goals. We've got some, you know, some expectations of, you know, what is to come. And I know as we look back at this year, some of us here this morning might have had some of those expectations. And, you know, as you come to the end of this year, there's a bit of that disappointment of like, you know, I've not achieved some of my goals. I had some dreams and expectations, you know, but the good news is this morning, friends, there's 22 days left of this year. 22 days to end off this year strong. I want to encourage you this morning. Let's end off this year strong. Let's bring closure to some things, you know. And I really believe God doesn't want us to take things in this new year that He doesn't want us to take into the new year. There's some things that we need to lay down of this year. And so we have that opportunity. And so this morning, I just want to share just a couple of things, some thoughts that I have for you this morning. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can be together. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. And Father, even as we were singing that song, we stand in awe of you. Father, we truly stand in awe of your goodness towards us. In many ways, we don't deserve it, but Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your grace this morning. I thank you for your grace even in this year, God, as we look back in moments where we can have just given up and throw in the towel. But Lord, I thank you that the way you've pursued us in these moments of our lives, Lord, we're forever grateful that you love us and that you call us sons and daughters and that you call us to yourself this morning. And I pray, God, that you will speak through me, that you'll speak to each and every one of us, Lord, as we come to the end of 2018, not quite yet, but as we come close, Father, to this year, to the end of this year. I thank you for your presence, and we just welcome you, Father. Give us ears to hear in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I just love this. I'm going to read this little joke that came up on my feed, so please laugh about this. It says, a pastor said, you need to join the army of the Lord. My friend then replied, I'm already in the army of the Lord, pastor. Pastor questioned, how come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter? And he replied, he whispered back, I'm in the secret service. So don't feel bad. I mean, if we don't see you every Sunday, you know, we don't tick off who's here and who's not. And, you know, there's no condemnation, okay? We love to see you. It's wonderful to see you, by the way. Welcome to some of guests here. If you're here for the first time, my name is Johan. I'm the lead pastor of this church called Every Nation. As you know, Well, we call every nation for a reason. We just love the nations. And as I look around this room, I see a diverse group of people from different nations. And every tribe and nation worshiping God. And that's what it's all about, friends. This is who we are. We just love God, love people, and want to see His kingdom come to the nations. We believe God has called us here for a purpose, and that is to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what I love about every nation. It's all inclusive, not exclusive. So you're very, very welcome here this morning. I want to just share a message this morning with you, getting past your past. I want to talk to some people here this morning that just finds it very hard to move past your past. How many of you know that we all have a past? How many of you all know that, you know, there's a history? We have a history. In our lives, you know, we carry a lot of things. And so I really feel like as we come to the end of this year, there's just some things God wants us to leave in this year and not take it into the new year. How many of you know the way we leave is the way we cleave? Meaning that as we enter into this new year, we can easily bring some things. You know, we can, you know, bring in some attitudes and things that we had of this year, some disappointments. And I feel like today is that moment where, you know, we can just choose to lay down some things in our lives. I love in Isaiah 43:18. It says, verse 20, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So here Isaiah clearly said, tells, instructs us, do not remember the former things. Now, how many of you know it's not easy? That's easier said than done. Forget the former things. All of us here, we've had experiences in this year. We've had disappointments. We've had expectations. Some of us, most of us in this room have been rejected this year. And so it's not easy to forget. We get what Isaiah, we get what he wants. This is something that he's said, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, but behold, I will do a new thing. Okay, and this is what he's prophesying. He's saying, God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing. But how many of you know, to be able to take hold of the new, we need to let go of the old? And to take hold, it's not always easy if you're carrying some things that is of the old, that is occupying your mind. You know, you're walking around with grudges and offenses and disappointments. I didn't get that Christmas bonus. I didn't get that hug. I was expecting, you know, that response from that person. I've been reaching out. I've been texting that person. She's just not that into me. And so we've been harboring these things in our lives. And I really believe that this is what God is saying to us, to you this morning. As we look into this new year, we have a decision we can make. God has given us a will. How many of you know that God has given us a will? A will. You know, and I believe He will never override our will. That's something we decide. There's some choices that you have made this year that had some bad consequences. Because of some decisions you've made out of your will, I've decided this is what I'm going to do. And so a lot of us, you know, there's some disappointment that we carry. You know, there's some regrets. Let's be honest. We have some regrets. That we have. Man, I wish I could have done it differently. I wish I could have approached the situation in a different way. But the fact is, friends, it's in the past. So, This morning, I want to help us as we go on a journey and just to really just ask God, you know, what are some of the things that He wants to highlight in our lives? He wants to point out and maybe instructs you to forget and help you forget, okay? There's a lot of unforgettable moments in my life that I can honestly say to you, I wish I could have done it differently. There's some embarrassing moments. How many of you have had some embarrassing moments in your life? I mean, just standing on the stage brings back a memory. I remember this so well. And, you know, there's a little set here. You can see there's a production going on. Not our production, but it brings back a memory of a production that I was involved in. I was roped in by this over-enthusiastic lady called Cindy. I remember Cindy? Cindy was she's a lovely lady, but she just sometimes see potential. I don't know if it's God or just her, but she just saw something in my drama skills. And she said, "Johanna, you know, I want you to do this little drama." You know, and I said, "Well, I'm not sure, Cindy. Are you sure?" "Yeah, I believe, you know, real spiritual. I believe God. He really, you know, He wants you to be part of that." I'm like, "Are you sure about that? Do you know who you're recruiting here? Do you know, you know, I just don't, this is not my forte. This is just," she said, "Oh, it's fine. It's just a few words." I remember she emailed me this little script. This wasn't a little script, right? As an understatement, it was like this long paragraphs, and I started highlighting all these words that I had to memorize in not a month, but in a couple of weeks. Okay, so, and it was a production we did in Easter, and we had a bit of big outreach. I mean, it was at Every Nation Church in Dublin, and we were throwing out leaflets everywhere and inviting people there. And guess what? It was a packed house that night. It was filled to the brim. We were, and obviously, you know, I was playing the part of Jesus. There were some big shoes to fill that day, you know, that I had to be like Jesus, act like Jesus, speak like Jesus. I mean, this is some big shoes to fill. And so anyway, so there was Jesus at the back. And this was my moment. This was Jesus' moment. So Jesus walks in. His disciples are standing here. And so Jesus was speechless for the very first time. He forgot his words. Jesus never ran out of words. But this moment, I was standing there. Like, I just could not get anything out. And I was like thinking, you know, I've got poor Cindy who's sitting in the front here. She was like, just say, you know, just say anything, just say it. You know, she was kind of getting, you know, a bit frustrated with this Jesus, you know. And so she just said, and she started reading out. But man, I hit a blank, guys. It was just this moment where I'm like, man, please just stage, swallow me up right now. Just want to rapture me or whatever. Just that moment, and anyway, that was my short-lived drama career right there. It just came crashing down, you know. And you know, she's like, "Oh, I thought you did so." And I said, "No, it sucks," you know. And so it was a confident moment, but you know, things like that, friends, it's in your past, you know. I mean, you know, it was, we can laugh about it, but some of us, there's some things that we cannot laugh about it. In fact, we're crying about it right now. It's difficult, difficult to process. And, you know, these moments, we just feel embarrassed, the shame of just things that has happened to you. And so some of us are stuck in the past and we just really do not know how to move on. It's so difficult. We're trying so hard. We praying and we're going to church. We do all these things. It's just like, man, I just feel stuck right now. How many of you have seen that Queen movie that's out, you know, from Queen? Any Queen fans over here? Well, You know, he's got that song. He said, I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. God knows I want to break free. That I believe that was the expression that came from the artist himself. And, you know, just articulating that and just says, this is a cry coming out. I want to break free. I want to break free from these lies. Lies that is just that I hear that is consuming my mind. I hear it over and over like a broken record. I want to break free. There's a desperation that's coming. Maybe from some of us, but I know from a lot of people that I meet during the week. They're like, say, Johan, how can I move on from my past? I feel I'm just not good enough. I don't feel worthy. I feel like a hypocrite, even coming to church and sitting here and pretending. And I mean, God, you know, He thinks that I'm the biggest hypocrite. And I've said this before, you know, sometimes what we know and believe of God will determine that we either run to Him or from Him. And a lot of people are just running from God in a place where they're just fearful and shameful. I mean, we knew what happened in the garden, right? There was a separation. There was shalom. There was a connection. They were in unity together. And there was a crime that was committed. Do not eat from that tree. And then with the consequences of sin, there was a separation that took place. It's shame. They covered themselves with thick leaves. But the good news is, friends, that God is not interested in your past. He's interested in your future. When He looks at us, He just don't see all those things. Although it grieves Him, but it's not He's just, man, I've got a plan to prosper you. I've got a hope, and there's a hope in the future. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope in the future. And I want you to see this, because this whole season that we're celebrating the greatest gift of all. Because of Hanukkah, of Christmas, this whole season is about hope. He's the light of the world. He's the reason for the season. We've heard that. And so I want us to rediscover this hope again, this hope of, you know, we serve somebody that is alive. It's not a myth. It's not just a fairy tale. This actually happened more than 2,000 years ago. That out of love, because God loved the world so much that He sent His only beloved Son to this world in the form of a baby. Now, we don't worship a baby. We worship a risen King. That's who He is. That's the joy, the gift that has been given to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many of you know that when we give our lives to God, you become a new creation, a new person? That Jesus, by His Spirit, comes and dwells in us, and He makes us a new creation, a new person. I love that of God, that He chooses the most unlikely, the ordinary, and He said, I want to come and take up residence in you because I love you so much and I believe in you. It's not about your past, it's about your future. I believe in you. Old things have passed away. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, friends, the problem wasn't I was bad and Jesus made me good. The problem was I was dead and the solution was Jesus who made me alive. He made me alive. I was dead. I think about my old self, and I don't want to dwell on the past, but I think about my old self, boy, I thank God every day for His grace and what He's done in my life. And a lot of you can testify of that. We've heard so many testimonies this year just from this platform of what God has done in people's lives. And how he comes and changes from the inside out and make us more like Jesus. That's the hope. That's what he does. If you just remember one thing of this message today, remember this. If you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. We'll say it again. If you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. There's some things that's just preventing you from experience life in its fullness. God wants you to be alive in him, but there's some things of our past that needs to die. That's what the scripture instructs us to do, is to put off our old self, put on the new man, to be renewed in him. And so we can identify some things, you know, of our former self, it's just been there for many, many years, and you've just felt, man, I've just stuck in this cycle, in this rut. Sometimes, you know, when I miss home, I go to the Belfast Zoo. How many of you have been to the Belfast Zoo? If I miss Africa, I'm from Africa, I'm African, can't take the African out of me. I love going there and just looking at my zebra, my wife will say zebra, or, you know, the elephants, and just love being there. Just kind of imagining, you know, for a moment, I'm not in Belfast. I'm just out there in a safari, pushing my pram up those hills and just getting a bit of a workout there. But I remember the zookeeper. I met the zookeeper. I love meeting people. And he just shared with me about this elephant. So we went there, took the kids there, and we saw these elephants being fed and, you know, great. And so I just asked him, you know, tell us more about this elephant. And he said, this elephant, its former owner used to, it was a circus. They used to bind him up. He was bound in chains around his legs. For many, many years, this was just how he operated. You know, he would walk slowly. You know, he couldn't run. But he was just bound in these chains. And so then he was handed over. Eventually, he was taken from these dictators or slave masters, taken out of captivity, and then brought to this zoo. And so even when they taken, 15 years after they've taken these chains off, for 15 years he's been free without chains. Because I've noticed when he comes in to feed, he will kind of move in like backwards. He won't come in this way facing, you know, the zookeeper, but he'll just come in like in a reverse gear. But he'll walk. He's got this limp. And I was just thinking about that. Just thinking about, you know, our lives. And when we are bound up in chains, where we live in bondage, that becomes the familiar. Am I right? When the people in Egypt, in slavery, they were bound. They were slaves. In the same way, is if God takes us out of captivity, out of Egypt, and he brings us into the promised land and brings us into, you know, a place where there's freedom. We're not always free. There's still a limp of Egypt in us. There's a saying, you can take them out of Egypt, but there's still Egypt in them. And the same with that elephant that has experienced, that's what he knows. In his mind, I'm still a slave. I'm still driven by my past. I'm those moments of just, he was restricted, bound up in chains. And I love that. Because of Jesus that came, he set us free. He's broken the chains of bondage. We're no longer bound And so he's teaching us to live like sons and not as orphans, as slaves that just pulling us around, you know. This is freedom. It's for freedom that he set us free. That's who he is. And so as we become, as we live in Christ, that's what I love about the book of Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You read about who we are in Christ Jesus. We find a new identity in him. So when he comes and takes up residence in us, we're no longer slaves. We're adopted. And so through his Spirit, he changes us. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to renew our mind. We start thinking like him. We don't think like Egypt. We don't think like slaves anymore, but we start thinking like sons and daughters of God. That's the good news this morning. Caleb, come up here for a moment, please. Here's a bag. I've got a bag for you. Because you're going away next. You're going to India next week. So here we go. There's some baggage for you. Come up here for a moment. All right. So what is up with the bag? I mean, it's super heavy. It's very, very heavy, you know, and but this is how it happens. In the beginning, 2018, yeah, praise the Lord. At the end of the year, there's a bit of heaviness here, right? And just because we're carrying some dead weight. On the way, this year, we've picked up some things. And so we've put this in our bags. And now I have put a few things in the bag for you. There we go. And so, the wonderful thing, this is just how God's grace is. What does God say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus' yoke is so much lighter than what the world offers. There's a heaviness. You know, this is what we just read. Stand there for the next half an hour. I'm almost done. Hebrews 12 verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you know that there's some things that's trying to weigh you down right now? You feel overwhelmed. There's just things that you just pick up on this journey. And so I went to the beach last night to Hollywood. This is complimentary. I picked this up and I put my floodlights on and, you know, we went at about 9. Anyway, here we go. So we pick up these things. And so what is God calling us to do is like take off this weight, lay it down. Okay? So here's some things that we got to unpack. So well, we just bring to God and say, Lord, you know what? I'm just bring this. I want to lay this down. I give this to you. I give my bad attitude. Yeah, bad attitude. Things that just sin. I just repent. I love that. We can come and just, Lord, I repent. I want to give this sin to you. I've been caught up. This has just been something that's putting a limp in my walk with you. And we just lay this thing down. Lay it down. Surrender, whatever it is. Because I believe there's something, even that the enemy wants you to focus on. Isn't it interesting how the enemy just makes you focus on your past? That's just how he works. It always reminds you of your past, of the old man. He will never tell you about the new man. He's not interested in the new man. He's like, I want to keep you with the old man. There's a few more. You're almost there. How are you feeling? Okay. So, here we go. Here we go. Light. Lightweight. And that's the wonderful thing. And he comes and he takes that weight off your shoulders and said, no, let me take it. It's not for you to carry those burdens.
whatever it is, let me take that from you. Thanks, my friend. That's just who our Father is. I love just the way God pursues us. I, as some of you know, I've got three children. I've got two beautiful girls, Michaela and Naomi, and then Joshi. These two girls have really kept me busy for a while, and just what parenting is all about. You just kind of figure it out on the way. But there's moments that I remember this moment. Andrea was in Spain with some of the pastors' wives in around Europe and our Every Nation family, and had a retreat, and so I had to become daddy daycare, not daddy daycare, but daddy week care. Week for a week, I was put in charge, and I just had such a new appreciation to my wife. Boy, was I busy doing the dishes, doing the laundry, doing that, changing the kids, getting them to school, putting them into bed, and man, I was wrecked after the day two. I'm like, Andrea, come back now. I need help. I said, well, this is how I feel every day. But I just had this moment of just self-pity, and I remember it could not have gone worse. I remember this night so well. So next moment, I had these two, three kids in my bed. You know, so try the peg, take them back to their bed, and they just come walking in, daddy, 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 like, leave me alone. Give me space, you know. But I remember this, was Naomi. She must have had something the previous night. But when I woke up, man, I had vomit all over my bed. Sorry for being that graphic, but it was a mess. It was just nasty. It was just that moment that you're like, man, why me? No. But in the moment, you know, I could have responded different, because she's like looking at me. She's like, daddy, help me. I could have responded in a different way. I could have just said to her, what, daddy? What do you mean, daddy? Pick up your mess, girl. Come on, get up. Get your, clean this bed. You know, like, come clean your face before I give you a hug and just hold you. But that's not me. What I responded is like, I said, come here. Because I know she was not feeling well. I just grabbed her and vomited and was holding her like that. And, you know, I just hold in my arms. But I think about just how Jesus responds to us when we're in the mess. We just like carrying these stuff, and we just filled with, covered in stuff. I just love the way he responds. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. That's just the Father heart of God. At that moment, God doesn't say to us, hey, go and wash your face before you come into my presence. What does he say? Come as you are. Come as you are. I want you to come. And I love that of God. He will come to you. If he was here, he will just come right to you and give you a hug. You might not feel worthy of that hug. You might feel, hey, I don't deserve that. I'm a mess. You don't understand what I did. I've sinned. I've missed the mark. But that's not who he is. God's grace. Love this. I just want to end off with this story. How many of you know the story of Joshua, where he came into the promised land, to Israel, and he was crossing the Jordan River? As he entered in, God then parted this Jordan River, and he walked through. And then what they did is, I'm going to read this for you this morning. It says Joshua 4 verse 19 to 24. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on the dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until he had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. What happened is he then instructed them to take these 12 stones that represents the tribes of Israel. He instructed them to go and take this from the Jordan River, from the very center, the place where the Ark of the Covenant came in. And so they took the 12 stones and they put them down. And so what I love about that moment is there was a remembrance. It was a memorial to remember what God has done. They did the Passover there. Remembered when that spirit of death passed over. And God instructed them to anoint the doorpost. And they had a Passover there in the remembrance of this moment that God delivered them. And that was a moment where God delivered them. It was a moment where they did the circumcision. They instructed, God instructed Joshua for all of them to be circumcised, meaning to cut off. And so what happened, there was a cutting off that happened from the past into the new. And so I believe that that was a place as well of alignment. It was alignment that took place there. God was aligning them with his commandments. The name Gilgal, I like this, comes from the Hebrew verb galal. It means to roll or to roll away. And in that moment, after Joshua had circumcised Israel, God said that he had rolled away the reapproach of Egypt. And the place where he had done this was called Gilgal. At that moment, friends, God rolled away the shame of their slavery. It was a remembrance. Gilgal, it was a place and an event of separation. It's the old and the new. I'm separated from the old. This is the new person, the new promises. And so, that, I believe all of us sitting here, we've had some Gilgal moments. My Gilgal moment was in 99 when I rededicated my life. God had to cut some things, remove things from my past, where I was stuck in my past. God dealt with it. And he moved me forward and said, Johan, this is what I have for you. Before I said before you a blessing and a curse. You decide. I've given you will. Will you follow me? Will you pursue the things that I have for you in your life? What are the things? And God instructed me to lay some things down. And I wanted to cross over. And that was my crossing over moment. And in the year, I know some of us here this morning, you've had those Gilgal moments. As you look back in this year, there was moments, Gilgal moments in your life where God wants to take you back to that moment and remind you of what he's done. The grace that is extended to you. The forgiveness that he extended to you. And these are moments, friends, that the Gilgal means to roll away. And God is just rolling things away, making a pathway. He's making a pathway for you to enter in to some things in your life. That's who God is. What are the things that he needs to roll away as you surrender to him? What is that request? Lord, what? Show me, Lord, what are the things you want to roll away in my life? I want to be circumcised my heart. Cut away the things that just does not bear fruit. My past, help me to move forward. Even God is going to show some of us here the people that is there to help you. Because we cannot do it on our own. We simply cannot do it on our own. Joshua could not do it on his own. He couldn't cross over on his own. He needed the help of those people. People that keeps you accountable in your life. People that can point out, not critique you, but really just look at your life and say, you know what, I see this amazing, I want to just draw the best out of you. People that build you up and do not break you down. How many of you need builders in your life? We need that, friends. And just in closing, as we're going to go into a time of just communion here, God just wants to say to you this morning that in Christ, that's just time I spend in the Jordan, and there was a moment that I just met this couple at the Jordan River. I love going there and expect the unexpected. And God sent this couple across our path. And they said, is there anybody here that is a pastor? We want to be baptized and, you know, we need a pastor. And so I was there and I could read Dutch because they're from Holland. And they wanted me to read in Johannes. And so I would read to them. And there was a moment in the Jordan where they laid some things down. That's what baptism is about. Dying to the old, to yourself. Being resurrected with God. And it was just a beautiful moment. We can just celebrate new life, a new beginning. That lady then said, I want to, my past is in the past. I'm a new creation. I'm not going to live in condemnation anymore. I'm going to move. I'm taking hold of the new. I love that. So a couple of things I'm going to leave you with. In Christ, I'm completely forgiven. That's what Jesus does. When we come to him, we ask him forgiveness. He's not going to say, maybe if you do that, if you pray hard enough, eventually I will forgive you. No, it's not how God works. When we come to him and say, Lord, I confess my sins. I have missed the mark. I've sinned. Help me. He will forgive us. In Christ, I'm valuable. That's so important in this journey, even the new year, because this is what the enemy is going to come at you at. It's going to come and remind you of yesterday, of last year, lies. That's who he is. He's the father of lies. He loves just lying about you, your identity, and how God sees you. That's the stuff. Like I said, he's not interested in the new man. He's always interested in the old man. In Christ, I'm valuable. Tell somebody this week that needs to hear that you are valuable in the eyes of God. Tell them, I'm in Christ, I'm unconditionally loved. Knowing that you loved makes the difference. Some of us here, you just don't know how much you loved. You're finding it hard to love yourself. You look in the mirror, you're like, man, you just see sin. You just see those moments where you've just messed up. You just see a mess. It's not how God perceives you. You know, he sees you as significant. He loves you. There's an unconditional love with no strings attached. That's the same with my children. I'm not going to love them more if they do all these things for me. Love them the same. Let's just stand for a moment. I want to pray for you. We're going to go into just a time. We just get the worship team up here. Just somebody on the piano. Thanks, Meg. I'm going to make a way for you here. Get up. Just in response, as I shared this message, there's a communion table here. I want you to come this morning. Again, this is not something that this is something you decide. This is, again, your will. that decision that you can make. And to come and take. This is a remembrance, right? This is a Gilgal moment that we're having here with God. And being reminded of what He did for us more than 2,000 years ago. But also that gift. This is a gift to us. This is why we can live in freedom. Because of the finished work of the cross. He said, it is finished. It's done. It's done. Done and dusted. And because of the finished work of the cross, we can apply the finished work of the cross to that area in our lives that we really struggle. And we can move on from our past. We don't have to be stuck there, friends. Hear what I'm saying to you this morning. God has done it already. It's finished. You don't have to earn it. Just receive it. You cannot earn forgiveness. It's something you just receive. Just receive it this morning. Just bow your heads for a moment. And then I want you at your own time to come to this table and partake. Take the communion. We take this in remembrance of what He's done. His body was broken. Father, we thank You this morning for Your amazing grace. I thank You, Lord God, that we can come and we can just lay our lives down, Father. And I pray for people here this morning that is just carrying some dead weight. They just feel it's so difficult, Father, just being a Christian and really just living life at the moment. For some people, life just sucks at the moment. But Father, I pray that this morning that You'll come and refresh them. And Lord, come and remind them again of what You've done 2,000 years ago. Father, I pray, God, as we partake of this table, as we take from this table, Lord, I thank You. Thank You for that revelation, Father, of who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far You've removed our transgressions from us. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we, Father, we thank You that even as this blood, Father, talks about covenant, that You've made a new covenant, as You made a covenant with Joshua at Gilgal, Lord God. And Father, You've made a covenant, a new covenant with us. And we thank You for that blood, Father, that washes whiter than snow. I ask that You'll come and wash people, come and cleanse them this morning in Jesus' name. Just take a moment. When you're ready, I want you just to come to this table. We're not going to pass it around. And if you don't feel comfortable in taking from this table, just, that's fine. So we're just on your own time. Go ahead.